Hello and welcome to another episode of Calder's Calling. This is episode 15. We're the Calder Times flagship podcast and your premier podcast destination for everything surrounding the American Hockey League. I'm Jay Foster, one of your hosts. I'm joined today by Corey Swartz. No Dina Weinheimer today. She'll be back next week, but I'm excited because it's been a minute. We've had, I think, a three-week break because of the All-Star game and various scheduling issues, but we're back and we've got loads to talk about. So before we kick things off, if you're not already subscribed to us on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube, go ahead and do that now. If you're currently watching on YouTube, please feel free to like, share, and again, subscribe so you can get every episode straight into your feed. I'd also like to thank our show sponsor, Document Doctors. While not on the ice, they can help you and your business optimize and increase your revenue and profits to a bigger slice. Check out DocumentDoctorsLLC.com and don't forget to mention that the Calder Times sent you to them. So we got a bunch of little things, and then, as is tradition, we'll go into kind of some bigger segments. So, Corey, why don't you take us away with some of the insane things that the Milwaukee Admirals are doing right now?
Yeah, the Milwaukee Admirals extended their win streak to 17 games on Monday with a 4-3 win over the Manitoba Moose. Liam Foudy scored to break a 3-3 deadlock with the only goal in the third period, while Yaroslav Askarov just keeps on winning. He made 17 saves for 17 games in the win. They're now second in the AHL with a 34-10-1-0 record, good for 69 points. Nice. The last time they lost, you had to flip the calendar back actually to the year 2023 with the last time they lost to the Rockford Ice Hogs. But even with that, if you were to eliminate that loss, they would, you know, you could still extend that back further to say 21 of their last 22 games they've won, which is just an absolutely insane mark, I think, by any metric here.
Yeah, it's truly bonkers. And like, so the next thing that we're going to talk about is the Grand Rapids Griffins, who are also on an insane point streak. And they're still way behind the Admirals. It's just truly, truly incredible hockey that they're playing right now. But Griffins, they're trying, they're surging in the Central Division. They are going to move up to they've moved up to third place. They're on a 12 game point streak, which sounds really impressive if you ignore every other point streak, because of the fact that the Admirals are currently on a 17 game win streak, which is again insane. Their last game, they had a 3-2 win over the Rockford Ice Hogs on Saturday, so we'll see if they can continue their point streak and maybe challenge the Texas Stars for second place in the Central.
And speaking of accolades, Colorado Eagles goaltender Colorado Eagles goaltender Ivan Prosvetov was selected as the Howie's Hockey Tape AHL Player of the Week for the period ending February 18th. Prosvetov made 93 saves on 98 total shots, winning all three of his starts, including a back-to-back set of wins on Saturday and Sunday. So very impressive, and congrats to him.
Speaking of congratulations, we got a bunch of debuts this week. A lot of firsts are happening. Hartford Wolfpack forward Matt Rempe, he went ahead and made his NHL debut in maybe the most memorable way that I've seen anyone make their NHL debut. First of all, he got to skate his rookie lap under the light of the NHL Stadium Series. I think he might be the first guy to make his debut in an outdoor game, which is pretty cool. And then he, 1 second into his ice time, he dropped the gloves with, I believe, Matt Martin, who is a tough customer. Now, Rempe is 6'8", and so he's no slouch, but that's an impressive ice time to penalty minutes ratio for the rookie.
It's making an impact right away, as fast as you possibly can, on probably one of the strangest
things
ever.
I get it. If you want to go out with a bang, like if you want to start your career with a bang, I can think of worse things to do than try to fight Matt Martin, who is, again, I think one of the toughest guys in the Metropolitan Division.
I'd agree with that 100%. I mean, even with the fact that Rempe's punching down a little bit on him, I would say, just a little bit, you know, it's no slouch and he will not back down from anybody, that's for sure. But speaking of NHL debuts, we had another one on Monday. Forward Mason Morelli made his debut with the Vegas Golden Knights. The undrafted forward rose through the ranks starting in the ECHL, to get all the way to the NHL after winning the Calder Cup with the Hershey Bears last summer. And, you know, spending 3 years there prior to signing with the Golden Knights. He also scored his first NHL goal at the end of the first period that on a power play on a nice little deflection and added an assist. Now, they were teased him a few times there that he didn't go for a Gordie Howe hat trick, but he said, that's not part of my game. He said he was letting it come to him for his first game. So congrats to him. That's a story that, you know, is close to my heart, being a former Bear for a few years there, and an impressive one at that.
Yeah, and I'm always, like, super excited for the guys that, like, didn't get drafted into the NHL and maybe kind of got signed to a show-me contract, spent a bunch of time in the minors. Like, it's a really fun story when they make it, and especially scoring your first goal in your debut. Like, that's going to be an awesome moment. That wasn't the first NHL goal in an NHL debut this week, though. Justin Brazeau also made his NHL debut for the Boston Bruins and scored his first goal in that game as well. He's got 37 points in 49 AHL games for Providence this season. But again, just another really cool story. I think it's really fun when these depth guys get caught up and are like, right, I have to make this count. Sometimes that's dropping the gloves, and sometimes it's scoring your first goal on your debut.
Yeah, you love to see it. You know, like with Morelli's goal, like, you get to see a lot of the families get out for the games, and, you know, they're going nuts over the guy making his debut, scoring his goal type of thing. Saw that with Morelli's goal, which was awesome to see. And speaking of debuts, we have one that is impending as this show is being recorded on Tuesday, as Logan Stankoven is making his NHL debut tonight as well. So the debuts don't stop. This is truly that time of year where everybody's looking for a depth forward to come up and take a, you know, depth forward, depth player, you know, up and down their lineup to kind of come and make an impact. So it's truly the most wonderful time of year in that respect.
100%. Logan Stankoven, AHL All-Star this year, is, we'll talk about him in a little bit, actually, because he's just, you know, casually leading the entire AHL in points as a rookie. So, you know, no big deal for Stankoven there, but hopefully has a good debut. And this was not a debut, but another AHL All-Star, Brent Clark of the Ontario Reign, called up to the Kings just before the All-Star break, got sent back down, I believe, like, on paper, and then got called right back up. He scored his first NHL goal, and it was a beauty. He took a penalty in overtime, which has got to be the worst feeling in the world. The Kings kill it off, and Brent Clark goes out of the box, onto the puck, overtime game-winning goal versus one of the best teams in the league, in the Boston Bruins. You absolutely love to see it.
Yeah, that was a beauty, too. I saw the highlights for that. I was like, wait a second, that was the guy we just saw, we were just talking about so much in the All-Star game, and that was a beautiful goal. I mean, like you said, it's rare that you get a breakaway. I think it was a breakaway out of the box, if I'm not mistaken, and, you know, a great move. You'd be hard-pressed to believe that was his first NHL goal in that sense, but none get any bigger than that, scoring in overtime like that. So you love to see it.
Yeah, 100%. Brent Clark, I'm kind of sad that we probably won't get to talk about him very much on this podcast anymore, because I don't think that the Kings are going to give him back unless that, you know, a paper transaction for the AHL playoffs, which will be fun. But yeah, that kid's going to be a rock star for the Kings. It's going to be really fun to watch. Speaking of rock stars, let's do our three stars of the week. So Corey, who is your star of the week this week?
Well, I had a hard time picking a little bit here, but I decided to go a little closer to home for me and talk about Alex Limoges a little bit. I think that his line as a whole, you know, he's going to get the credit from me, but it really goes a lot to his line mates, Joe Snively and Hendrix LaPierre, that, you know, Limoges missed a little bit of time here recently. He was injured in practice after Hershey's teddy bear toss game on January 7th, was out for almost an entire month. It made his return just before the All-Star break, I believe. He was, you know, really good. You know, he's a key cog for the Bears, but I think it's kind of understated how well he's kind of kept Hershey's offense humming, especially, you know, in lieu of some players like Ethan Frank's been gone for a couple of games with injury. Mike Scarbosa has been recalled, and, you know, there's no timeline in sight for his return, seemingly. You know, Limoges casually, I mean, if you're just tuning in this weekend, had, you know, 4 points in 2 games, a goal and 3 assists, but he's just coming off of a 5-game point streak, or goal streak, I should say. He had goals in 5 straight games dating back to the Teddy Bear Toss game. And, you know, just came off that streak, but he just turned that into a, you know, point streak with 2 assists on Monday there as well. So, you know, I think he's been a real key cog in, you know, Hershey's success. Plus, you got to love another local product here for people listening in the area, a Penn State alumni, which is always good to see. Just some really good stuff. He's been a fascinating signing for me just to see him kind of get this chance with the Bears, closing in on perhaps breaking his records in terms of points this season if he keeps it up.
Yeah, for sure. It is the Homer edition of the 3 stars this week, because I have also gotten for a guy from the team I cover. And this week I've gone for Kyle Rau, who was a late signing. I believe he signed mid-December for the Barracuda. And I was looking at his stats as I was doing a recap for the games that they just had this week. And I was like, oh, he only has 5 goals. That seems low. And then I realized that that's because he has 15 assists to add to that for 20 points in, I think, 27 games so far this season. And 6 of those points came this week. He had 2 separate 3-point nights. I think 1 3-assist night. 2 goals and 4 assists in 3 games against San Diego Gulls, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, and the Bakersfield Condors. So he is making his presence known. If he remembers how to score, if he finds his scoring touch again, I'm looking for him to be a big difference maker as the Barracuda try and kind of push to the playoffs, because a million teams in the Pacific make it, and they're sitting right at the bottom, but they're only a point behind 9th place right now. So, you know, there's still some time for the Barracuda. And then, because Dina's not here, we had a spare star. So I went ahead and executive decided that we were going to talk about Yaroslav Askarov, who kind of began the theme of the Milwaukee Admirals this week. But hey, how do you not talk about the streak that these guys are on? Yaroslav Askarov hasn't lost a game since December 17th. That was his last loss. He has then won, I think, 14 straight of the 17 straight that the team is on. He has gone 3-0 this week against Chicago, and then 2 games against Manitoba, had 1 shutout, and then made 2 saves on 22 shots and 2 goals on 22 shots, so 20 saves, and 17 saves on 20 shots, giving him a grand total of, if I can do math on the fly, 5 goals against in 56 shots. So he is a big, big part of why Milwaukee is doing what they're doing right now. And also, just a really fun guy to watch. I wanted to bring this up in the past segment. I forgot, but so I'm going to bring it up now. The Milwaukee Admirals next week are giving away statues of, I don't know if you've seen this, Corey, or if you're going to learn about this live on the podcast, his bench pressing the net celebration for when he gets a shutout. They're giving away little statues of that. So a little like ceramic Askarov bench pressing a net is going to be given away a game next week. And I think that's very cool.
That's about as good of a promotion as I think you could possibly have when you're leaning into some of the fun stuff like that. Like, I know, like, the Bears are doing a bobblehead giveaway of Mike Vecchione doing his, you know, signature the roar kind of thing. I think that, you know, leaning into those little things that these players do, and, you know, these little kind of like iconic moments, that's a, you know, as if the Milwaukee Admirals aren't good enough to draw fans, you know,
right?
That's something I can picture people lining up around the block for, to get type of thing, just to get their hands on. So
me trying to figure out how to fly to Milwaukee just to get this, you know, like it might be my favorite giveaway item that I've seen from any game this season. But a very close second, I think, would have been the Zamboni gravy boat that they gave away in Detroit over Thanksgiving.
That was pretty cool. Know,
that's a cool one. But yeah, the little bench pressing Askarov is definitely top tier. And we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Admirals again in a second. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about Document Doctors, who are one of our sponsors today. Is your business growing beyond the 4 walls of your office? As businesses grow, so do the challenges of keeping people trained, safe, and supportive. Document Doctors, a proud sponsor of the Calder's Calling podcast and the Calder Times, offers affordable solutions to help optimize your business and keep the good times rolling. They offer content-focused solutions such as training document creation, back-office process optimization, policy and procedure development, and much, much more. Support the podcast and the Calder Times by visiting them at documentdoctorsllc.com. And don't forget to mention us when talking to their team of contentologists. Shop and support small businesses today by going to documentdoctorsllc.com.
All right, well, hey, I'll kick it off with my segment here. We're just going to keep the train going right on because we are rolling right into more discussion about the Milwaukee Admirals. So the Admirals are on the 17-game win streak, so I kind of tried to go between the lines a little bit here to kind of, you know, as an outside observer here, tell you how this is kind of going for the Admirals here. So as we mentioned earlier, you know, the Admirals have not only just won 17 games in a row, right? They have a streak of, you know, 21 wins in their last 22 games. And that streak, that span, includes six shutouts, four wins that have gone beyond regulation, either overtime or shootouts. They played some pretty tough teams. They've beaten the Texas Stars three times, I believe, here in recent days, you know, who was previously the top team in the Central Division for what I would say most of the first half of this season, I believe. You know, we just talked about Askarov kind of being a story by himself. You know, his win streak is basically the Admirals' win streak. It's almost eerie how, you know, similar his success has been there. But this guy, you know, he hasn't had all of the shutouts. I believe Troy Groznik has at least one of them, if I'm not mistaken. I believe, as I'm looking at the stats here, Askarov has four in this stretch here, which is, you know, still just lights out. He's moved seemingly, you know, super fast, just like the Admirals, up into, I believe, third place as of this recording in terms of goaltender stats. Only the two Hershey goaltenders, Hunter Shepard and Clay Stevenson, have more solid numbers, which, you know, pat on the back, it's another nice Hershey stat here.
I do want to say that I just wanted to look, I just went to look at where they are in terms of facing off against Hershey. They've gone on a 17-game win streak, and they're still 11 points behind Hershey. Insane.
Yeah, it's insane. The kind of crazy thing that I think, you know, puts this win streak in perspective, maybe even a little bit more, is that they still have five games in hand on the Bears too. And if you were to, you know, cash out those five wins as 10 points, then suddenly you're looking at an Admirals team that is now only one point, a single point behind the Bears in the standings for first place in the league. Now it's easier said than done to bank five wins in a row, I would say, but, you know, this Admirals team has proven anything, I would say that, you know, it's not so unbelievable with this group at the very least. And I will say the spread of these teams has been impressive as well. They've defeated teams from not only the Central Division, but also the North Division, as well as the Pacific Division. They've, you know, hosted some teams from there. So, you know, all signs point to this being just an absolutely, you know, unique, you know, almost unfeasible win streak in, you know, the modern landscape of the AHL where everything is so competitive. The only devil's advocate I'd like to play on this one a little bit is that I've noticed that they've had some not easy games, but, you know, the Central Division is certainly not as hyper-competitive and hyper-strong as some other ones. I believe they have three runners in contention to be among the AHL's worst team with the Bridgeport Islanders. Manitoba, Chicago, and Iowa, just kind of in that order, kind of rattle off a little bit here. You know, if you were to fit those teams in most other divisions, they would be in the bottom of that by a hefty margin. You know, the worst North Division team is almost 10 points higher than Manitoba right now. So, and, you know, sometimes, you know, games in hand play a little bit of factor in on there. You know, it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors kind of making some of those assessments in a broad sense at this point in the season. But I just thought it was worth pointing out that, you know, they've feasted on some Chicago Wolves here recently. And, you know, I'd be curious to see them play a couple of teams in the upper echelon. No disrespect to Texas. Their stock has been falling a little bit here in recent time. I'd be very curious to see them play a team like, you know, Coachella Valley that's been surging in the Pacific Division. The Colorado Eagles, they've beaten a couple of times in the span there. No slouches, of course. You know, just to see some higher quality of competition, as we've seen some other teams like, you know, Providence and Hershey play some really close games. You know, just to see more of those playoff preview type of things, just to test the mettle of this team, I think is probably the next thing I would like to see for this group. But all signs point towards they are unstoppable at this point. And I think the crazier thing about it, too, is that they have, you know, gotten some really varied scoring here. You really won't find too many of their players. I mean, Mark Jankowski is the top one. He is, I believe, on recall right now, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least he is marked inactive on the AHL stat page. But, you know, they have some really good spread scoring. I mean, their top two scorers are currently listed as inactive. They have, you know, their other two top scorers actively now are rookies. But, you know, there's just a really good wealth of scoring. There's some really good veteran leadership on this team with Cal O'Reilly being one that sticks out to me, jumps off the page. You know, Anthony Angelo is another guy that's been around the AHL for a long time. Just a lot of guys that you know, I think are a collective greater sum of their parts.
Greater, yeah, right? Greater than the sum of their parts. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the expression I was looking for. But you know, it's been a great, you know, I think that's where you see success in the AHL these days, so that like you can have your Austin Matthews type player that scores a million goals, but that does not necessarily reflect directly into success at the AHL level or the NHL level. It's no longer an individual's game. It is a team game now. And so I think the Milwaukee Admirals are perhaps the best embodiment you'll see of a total team effort going into this sort of thing. So very fascinating to see.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch. As someone who doesn't really have a horse in the race of the Central Division, and who is, again, a self-professed goalie fan, it's been really fun to watch what the Admirals, and specifically Askarov, have been doing. And like I said, Askarov, four shutouts in that win streak, including one on Thursday night, I believe, or Friday night, against the Manitoba Moose. I agree that, yeah, they maybe haven't had the toughest go of things, but good teams find ways to win, you know? And I think good teams lose to bad teams all the time, you know? And I think if you looked at this, you would probably look at it and be like, yeah, there's no way that they're going to win every single one of these games, but hey, they are. I do want to say that I just looked at the schedule for the rest of February and up to March, and like, they might not lose again until March 19th when they play the Colorado Eagles. Before that, they've got two games against the Gulls, who are at the bottom of the Pacific. They've got two more games against the Moose. They've got four games against the Chicago Wolves, three games against the Griffins, a game against the Iowa Wild, and I think two games against the Rockford Ice Hogs. So it's gonna be interesting to see just how far this group could go. Because I agree, it's a team that's more than the sum of their parts, you know. And I think we're seeing, you know, I always think about the Tortorella era Blue Jackets in that respect. And I think we're seeing it with the Tortorella era Flyers right now, is that's a team that's greater than the sum of its parts. You know, you don't look at that team and think, oh yeah, that's definitely a playoff team, but they're making it work. They've got a couple of really, really great rookies. They are scoring by committee. I'm just going to pull up what their scoring is like right now, because again, I had it and then closed it. Everyone take a drink. Yeah, two of their top four scorers are rookies. And then their leading scorer, Mark Jankowski, has 47 points in 40 games, which is good for third in the league right now. Second in the league, or second in the team, is Afanasyev, who is sitting at 10th in the league. And then they don't have another player in the top 20 of scoring, which when you look at a team like Hershey, who has, you know, two guys in the top 15 as well, it's just, everything they do is so impressive. And I was fully expecting them to have, you know, like three or four 20 goal scorers by now, but they're not. They're scoring by committee. Everyone's getting involved, and they're getting it done when they need to get it done. So I think also in terms of this win streak, is having been on the side of these long win streaks like this. Blue Jackets had one in 2016, I think, where they had 16 or 17 game win streak. And then this season they had a 9-game losing streak. You know, like, there's a lot of pressure that comes with a long streak like that. If you're playing a team that's won 17 games in a row, like, you're going into that and you're thinking, man, there's no way that we're going to be the ones to break the streak. You know, So, like I said, I'm interested in how far Milwaukee could go with this, because I think they could, like, they might never lose again. This might just be what Milwaukee is this season.
It is an interesting thing. And I mean, I guess I wonder, you know, how soon we start setting the betting odds and how good it is for a Milwaukee Hershey finals or something like that. You know, it's way too early, and that's way, you know, that's jumping over all the fun of the rest of the regular season and the playoffs type of thing. But I think it's one of those things where it's, you know, these are two teams that have done some similarly impressive things this season. And, you know, for Milwaukee, the only question I guess I'd have is, does it show, you know, is, I'd be curious to see how they respond when, if, I guess I should say if at this point, if they ever do lose again, because it's, that's going to be a different feeling. It's always kind of one of those things where you're like, okay, is this going to just be a bump in the road, or is it the start of a worse trend type of thing? I don't really see that with this group, just because they seem to have really bonded and gelled with each other here so far. You always have to ask those kinds of questions. Okay, if this happens, what will the look be afterwards, so to speak? But I do believe that this team, you know, very well could never lose again, possibly. I mean, it's just their schedule's built for it. I, you know, their opposition, like you said, is some teams that, you know, on paper they could easily beat, I believe. You know, it's just going to be an interesting storyline to watch the rest of this season.
Yeah, for sure. We should maybe put a section into the podcast for, like, Admirals. Hashtag Admirals watch. I thought we would move on from this. And I thought we could talk a little bit about some rookies, because the rookie race continues. There are a couple of guys who are out of it at the minute through no fault of their own. But the end of the season rookie scoring race is going to get real interesting, I think. So we'll talk about that in just a second. First, though, I want to tell you guys about BetStamp. Sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits. There has never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/AHL, you're going to be connected to all of the sportsbook in your regions, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sportsbooks have different valuable sign-up offers for new users. When you register through our link, you will automatically receive the best offer at each one. If you're going to use multiple sportsbooks, you can ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is the key to successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of these benefits and support our podcast, consider signing up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/AHL. Must be 21 or over, only valid in U.S. states and Canadian provinces where sports betting is legalized. Please gamble responsibly. So, the leading scorer for rookies is up in the NHL at the minute. We talked about him earlier in this episode, Logan Stankoven. He's going to be making his NHL debut tonight as of the time of recording this. Brent Clark is another name that is in the top 10 of rookie scoring. He is also going to be unavailable, and I think probably he's done in the NHL for the season. But I'm looking at this list of the top 10 rookie scorers, and there are a bunch of names on here that I think are going to make this rookie scoring race really, really interesting. Logan Stankoven is kind of running away with it. He's got 57 points in 46 games. Second place is Matt Coronato with 37 points in 36 games. Samu Tuomala, 36 points in 46 games. Josh Doan, 35 points in 47 games. Logan Mailloux, a newcomer in the top 10 rookie scoring race, 35 points in 48. Brendan Hoffman, 34 points in 43 games. That's the top six. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all of those guys were named AHL All-Stars by their respective team. Going into the rest of the top 10, Nikita Chibrikov for Manitoba has 33 points in 46 games. Fedor Svechkov, again, Milwaukee. We just can't stop talking about the Admirals. 33 points in 45 games. Xavier Parent, with 33 points in 46 games for Utica, and again, Brent Clark, who has 33 points in 32 games for Ontario, and his AHL season is likely over unless he comes back for the playoffs, which I would imagine he will. There's so many great names on this list, and I haven't even gotten into the goalies. You know, I think Joel Stevenson, that's not correct. Clay Stevenson, again, is kind of running away with it. He's got a 929 save percentage, but so does Thomas Tukanek in San Diego, who has, again, just come out of absolutely nowhere. He's got a record of 11-3-2 on the season so far, and if anyone can drag the goals into a playoff spot, it's him. Joel Blomqvist from Wilkes-Barre, another AHL All-Star, excuse me, a 919 save percentage. Like, I could go on and on. There's too many good rookies, and it's making this decision of who's going to win the rookie scoring race and who's going to be the best rookie in the AHL. It's making it difficult. I do want to go ahead and look very quickly at last year. So last year's Rookie of the Year was Ty Carty for Coachella Valley. He had 57 points in 72 games, which sounds super impressive for a rookie until you realize that that's how many Logan Stankoven has this year in 46 games. So I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think it's been a ton of fun to watch these kids come into the league. And I think more so than NHL rookies sometimes, because I think rookies get more freedom in the NHL. They get more responsibilities unless they're, you know, the real, real top heavy hitters in the NHL. I feel like they don't get the same game time decisions that rookies in the AHL get. You know, very few NHL rookies will be on the power play and the penalty kill and get a lot of even strength time, but you see that a lot in the AHL. So, like, I don't know what you think, Corey, but this has just been a really fun race to me.
Oh, I agree. It's nice to see, like, a wide variety of names kind of on this list. You mentioned, like, you know, a lot of these guys were all stars this season, and the selection committee had no shortage of, you know, great rookies to pick from in terms of making these selections. You could have had an all-rookie all-star, type of event, and it would have gone swimmingly, I think, because it was so, you know, there's so many guys, like, you know, you mentioned Logan Stankoven. He is 20 points clear of the next best rookie in the AHL. That's super impressive. But, you know, you got some guys I think are having sneaky good seasons, and a lot of them don't even have, you look at Josh Doan is the only guy really amongst that list who's not named Logan Stankoven to have eclipsed the 20 goal mark at this point. You know, these point totals, again, it's kind of like we were talking about a little bit earlier, right? Where it's these guys, it's not all me. It's not these guys that are dangling in and dangling around everybody and scoring goals. They're registering assists. They're playing power plays. They're, you know, playing a lot of different situations. They're, you know, still finding ways to put up points despite all of the oddity to this season. So I would say, you know, I am very impressed by this rookie crop, and, you know, the goaltenders, I think are, you know, worth studying on their own. I think it's some of the best rookie goaltenders we've seen in a single season in the AHL. You know, a lot of these guys hovering around a, you know, two goals against average from a lot of different teams. You know, and not all these guys, like, I know, like, Clay Stevenson, obviously I am quite familiar with. There was even a point where this past weekend where they were looking for him to bounce back in a sense, because, you know, Todd Nelson thought that he was kind of getting a little cold, here of late. So it's interesting to see just kind of how the race works. You know, numbers obviously don't reflect everything a guy is going through type of thing, but it is certainly fun for us to look at and pull different things for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I just went to look because we were talking about, you know, like, scoring by committee and not necessarily, like, okay, Logan Stankoven with the Texas Stars. The Stars are second in their division. The Wranglers are up there. But Samu Tuomala, who's third in rookie scoring right now, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms are at the bottom of their division. They are seventh of eight teams in the Atlantic. You know, Logan Mayu is kind of the same. He's his Laval Rocket are sixth. I've lost my list of guys. Here it is. Xavier Parent in Utica. Utica's at the bottom of their division. It's really fun to look at. Like, Olin Zellweger, who we didn't talk about, another All-Star, he's 13th in rookie scoring right now as a defenseman. He's got 32 points in 40 games. Like, it's not just the top teams having the top rookies. There are great rookies all the way through. And I think that's why we saw so many rookies at the All-Star game this season, how many teams were there where their only representative was a rookie? It's a not insignificant number of teams, you know? Looking again, just kind of off the top of my head, like, Lehigh Valley, I believe Bridgeport sent a rookie. The Hershey Bears, they had one of their three guys was a rookie. Laval, their guy was a rookie. Manitoba, I believe they sent one of their two guys was a rookie. Again, same with Tucson. One of their guys was a rookie. San Diego, their guy was a rookie. Like Ontario, their guy was a rookie. Just so many great rookies that I genuinely do not envy the people that have to. In the same way that I'm like, man, how do you choose the MVP of this league? Like choosing the rookie MVP is, I couldn't do it. Like that's going to be such a hard job. And I do want to give a very, very brief shout out to, he's not in the top 20 of scoring, but because I am who I am, I would be remiss if I did not mention Ethan Cardwell of the San Jose Barracuda. He is their rookie, and he is currently, I believe, tied for fifth in rookie scoring just in goals. So he's 21st in points, but he's got 15 goals on the season. And he's leading the Barracuda in goals, I think tied with another player. And like I said, the only guys that have more goals than him in terms of rookies are Brett Berard, Shane Wright, Josh Doan, and Logan Stankoven. So I wanted to give a quick shout out to my guy, Ethan Cardwell. But do you have any kind of finishing thoughts on rookies before we wrap it up here? Do you have an unsung hero rookie that you want to mention?
I think it's worth giving a little bit of shout out and some praise to all rookies just in general, because what goes often untalked about is the leap from the junior ranks to the NHL. It's such a hard leap, totally underrated in my opinion in terms of the difficulty level and just the things that these guys have to go through. So shout out to all rookies, really. I mean, I obviously get my little bit of slice with the Bears. The Bears have just a couple of rookies. They have some guys that, really carry the day-to-day work of this team. Ivan Marochnichenko is one where he's a, first-round pick of the Capitals with, a fair amount of pressure, I would say, to evolve into a almost Alex Ovechkin Jr. type of thing. As are, I feel like is almost standard of all rookies with a scoring flair in the Washington Capitals organization. But, he's a guy that I think is, carrying a tough role on a team that's been so good, that so much is expected of type of thing. So shout out to all rookies, really, who are, battling their way through their first seasons, turning pro. Some guys get it, faster than others, in terms of finding their sea legs and, getting lots of goals and points. But, lots of these guys, it's like you said, it's by committee. There's some guys that play penalty kill mostly. Some guys, especially defensemen. Logan Mailloux is one where, he's got a lot of points and he's a defenseman. That's extremely impressive. So, really just, stick taps to all rookies right now. They're killing it. We're proud of all of them.
Yeah, 100%. This really should have gone in our quick hit segment, but I forgot about it, which is truly terrible of me because it's so extremely on brand for me. But speaking of rookies and speaking of rookie goaltenders, shout out to Jackson Stauber, who got his first AHL shutout last week and capped it off with a goalie goal, which I forgot about until I saw his name in this list and was like, no, I have to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this now. So shout out to him specifically. He's having a pretty good season with Rockford at the minute. He's got a 3.16 goals against average. He's 7.7-3. Rockford, they're a team that are running two rookie goalies right now in Drew Commesso and Jackson Stauber. But shout out to Stauber for his combination shutout and goalie goal, which I don't know what kind of hat trick that is, but we'll have to think of a name for a shutout and a goalie goal and maybe an assist. We'll see. That's kind of all we've got here at Calder's Calling today. So if you want to check out our written coverage of the AHL, please check us out online at thecaldertimes.com. You can follow us on Twitter at thecaldertimes or Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We are all over the place. We've got a ton of content from the All-Star Game a couple of weeks ago. If you want to check that out, subscribe and rate our podcast. Share it with your friends, family, neighbors, your roommate's dog, anyone you think that likes hockey, and even your coworkers if you want them to enjoy something nice. Finally, we'd like to extend a final thank you to our sponsor, Document Doctors. Until next week, I hope your team wins, and we'll see you all next Wednesday.